turn for our reading this evening. This morning I was thinking my presentation is last command, our first concern, and I just want to bring us to his last command briefly this evening as we turn to Matthew's Gospel chapter 28. Matthew's Gospel chapter 28 and commencing to read at verse 16. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. His last command, our first concern. The founder of Coke wanted everybody to hear about Coke, and he had confidence in this product, and he wanted the whole world to hear about this drink. And so it was in 1982 that the founder of Coke created a slogan. And the slogan that he created, that he wanted to go right across the world, was, Coke is it. He wanted everybody to hear about Coke. He wanted them to taste it. He wanted them to experience it. He had confidence in his product. And he came up with that strap line or that slogan, Coke is it. As we gather in this missionary meeting this evening, I say reverently, what the gospel is it. And the gospel is the message that we want the world to hear. We want people to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. We want people to have confidence in the gospel and experience the gospel for themselves and see how the gospel can change lives and change families and change communities. For the Apostle Paul, he had confidence in the gospel when he wrote there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And so tonight, his last command, our first concern, and as we look at this last command and the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want us to notice, first of all, the great privilege. The great privilege in this last command is found in verse 19 where it says, Go. I believe tonight it is a great privilege to go because of the Master that we serve. There in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, we read that no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Tonight, dear friends, it's a joy to go in the gospel. It's a joy to be part of the Great Commission. It's a privilege to go because of the wonderful Master that we serve. Tonight, the Lord Jesus is one who sets men and women free. We read there in John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 34, about those who commit a sin is the servant of sin. But in verse 36, the Word of God reminds us that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Tonight, friends, we have a wonderful, wonderful Master, one who sets us free, a Master who has redeemed us with His own precious blood. And tonight we can say, I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shekels for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord. I'm free at last. My friends, there's a wonderful freedom and liberty in Jesus Christ tonight. What a wonderful Master to serve. Those in the world tonight are serving the other master. They're serving sin. They're enslaved to sin. They're in bondage to sin. But my friends, the believer is serving a liberating master. And there in the Old Testament we read about the servant who said, I will not go out free. I love my master. My friends, it's a privilege to go because of the master that we serve. But it's a privilege to go because of the message that we proclaim. What a wonderful message that we bring to the nations tonight. A message that can change the lives of men and women. There in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 we read, being born again, not of corruptible seed but incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. There's life in the gospel tonight. It's a life-changing message this evening. And my friends, our confidence is in the gospel, and we believe the gospel and the power of the gospel and what the gospel can do tonight. It brings hope to the despairing. It brings light to the darkness. It brings comfort to the sorrowing. My friends, if you let this gospel message grip your heart tonight, and the gospel seeds that grip your heart, my friends, it can change your life and your future. Of course, the gospel is negative, friends, before it can become positive. The Word of God tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can never experience the positive part of the gospel till you face the negative part, dear friends, that we're sinners, we're lost without God, and we're without hope tonight. And for as by one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned tonight. Friends, that's the negative part. It condemns us. But my friends, the positive part is that the gospel changes men and women tonight. Thank God that in this service you can seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. Tonight, dear friends, in this service you can be saved by God's grace, and you can leave this church a new person in Christ. Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 reminds us of what the gospel can do. And there he reminds us that we're a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Friends, we've got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful message tonight that Jesus saves. Jesus changes lives. Jesus can bring light into darkness for you this evening. He can bring hope to where there's despair tonight. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I remember hearing about a pastor who went to visit a prisoner in a prison in London. He went in and he shared the gospel with that prisoner and told about the power of God and how God could forgive sin, how God could change lives and give hope for the future. When the pastor was finished sharing this message with the prisoner looked at the pastor and he said, "Do you believe all that you told me? Do you really believe that message?" And the pastor said, "I believe it with all of my heart." And that prisoner said, "Well," he said, "if I believe the message that you have just shared with me, I would be prepared to go across England on my hands and knees on broken glass to tell everybody what you have shared with me." Friends, we have got a great message tonight. May it burn in our hearts. It's a privilege to go because of the Master we serve and the message that we proclaim. You know, friends, tonight it's a privilege to go because of the mission that we're engaged in. You see, my friends, this is the work of God tonight. This is not an earthly work. This is the work of the kingdom, and this is a great work. We think of Nehemiah when he was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem there. In Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 3, he said, "I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down." Can I say again to you, dear friends, that the work of the gospel is a great work? Can I say more tonight that the work of the gospel is the greatest work? The things of earth will disappear so quickly from us. But my friends, this is for eternity. This is a great work because of the vastness of the ministry, but because of the importance it has for the kingdom of God. And friends, this is a great work, and it's a great privilege to be engaged in the ministry of God. I'm not sure if it was Spurgeon or somebody else who once said to his son, "If God calls you to be a missionary, don't stoop to be a king." The work of God is something special. It's something wonderful. My friends, we're investing for eternity. There are words that I think of practically every day that I live. I think I've shared these with you before, but please forgive me for sharing them again, because they have had such an impression upon my life and have stirred my heart so deeply to serve God. It's the words of the late sister Molly Harvey, who's with the Lord, who served God in Brazil for many years with ACRI. When she was going to the mission field, the doctors in the Royal Victoria Hospital told her that her heart was weak and she should not go, that she would never survive working in the Amazon. But Molly Harvey, she said, I had the call of God. God had called me, and His last command was her first concern. And Molly went to serve God in Brazil and in the Amazon. I met her when she was 91 years of age. That was my first time to encounter this woman of God. She said with some amusement, she said, you know, the doctors in the Royal Victoria Hospital who told me not to go are all dead and I'm still alive. But there was something that dear lady would say, and this has had a lasting impact upon my life. Don't count your years, but make your years count. Molly Harvey was simply saying it's not the length of your life that counts, but it's the quality of your life and it's what you put into your service for God. Don't count your years, but make your years count. I say, friends, tonight, it's a privilege to go because of the master we serve, the message we proclaim, the mission that we're engaged in. Not only do we find it's a great privilege to go, but there's a great program here. The Word of God says, go and make disciples. The Greek verb translated go is really, while you're going, make disciples of all nations. In other words, the Lord was saying in His last command, no matter where we are, we should be witnessing for Jesus Christ and seeking to win others to Him, no matter where that may take us. In Saintfield, in Moira, Dungannon, wherever God has us, my friends, while you are going, seeking to win others to Jesus, this is the great program. And my friends, this is God's priority program till Jesus Christ comes back again. I'm sure as we sit in this church, there's something more for us than loving our families, fulfilling our role as citizens, holding down a good job and being involved in employment. Dear child of God, I'm sure within our hearts we are convinced and we know that there's something more for us this evening. And God is calling us, friends. God is calling us to fulfill His last command and make that our first concern, His great program in winning others to Christ in these days. Archbishop William Temple said in 1945, the church is the only society on earth that exists for the benefit of its non-members. If we forget this, if we neglect this, if we ignore this, we lose our mandate and we lose the blessing of God. Not only is it a great privilege and we have the great program, but we also find here in His last commission, we find the great promise. He says, lo, I am with you always. You know, it's not so much that He goes with us, but rather the meaning here is that we go with Him. As we fulfill the last command, He is with us because we are going with the Lord. And what a wonderful promise this is, wherever His last command may take us. When I was a young person, and that's not very long ago, I never dreamt for one moment that I would be in countries of Moldova, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, and Far East Russia, wherever SG is working. But I want to say tonight, dear friends, that the greatest joy, the greatest thrill is walking in His will. To sense the presence of God who is with us when we go with God and walk the narrow way. I'll go with God. And what a joy and what a blessing it is to go with God to fulfill the Great Commission, His last command. We can think of those that went with God and served the Lord and how God was wonderfully with them. We think of during the 1964 Simba Rebellion there in Congo, Dennis and Nora Perry and their two children were serving God with UFM. They were imprisoned over 3 months. And every day their little 10-year-old daughter, Grace, she kept singing her favorite song. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. The day arrived when the Simbas took the Perry family out to shoot them. And as the family were being marched before the firing squad, little Grace started to sing her song again. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Little Grace Parry was known as the the martyr of the Congo. And yet these people knew what it was to have God with them. Wherever God takes you, friends, step out with God. God will go with you. In fact, friend, you will be going with God as you step out in service for Him. In that same rebellion, Dr. and Mrs. Sharp, medical missionaries to the Congo, they conducted a short service for the missionaries who were returning home. The Sharp family gathered around the little portable organ, began to sing the same song, "Burdens are lifted at Calvary, for Jesus is very near." It was the last song the missionaries heard them sing. A few days later, the Simbas broke into the hospital. They murdered the doctor while he was performing surgery. They shot his wife and children, threw their bodies into the river. And yet that family knew that God was with them and Jesus was very near. It's a great promise as we go out to serve God, that we are going with God. He doesn't send us out and stand behind, but the Lord is with us. It's a great privilege. It's a great program. It's a great promise. But friends, there's a great problem. And the problem tonight is that not every believer makes his last command their first concern. We're listening to ministry and song tonight, and those missionary songs that touched our hearts that we might feel for others and reach out to others. His last command, our first concern. I wonder tonight, dear friends, is that true of us tonight? There can be many distractions in life, and I was brought to the words of a lovely hymn this afternoon when I was preparing for this service. "Give me a vision, Lord, I plead. Vision of souls and a world in need. Loved ones and friends, the one next door, then let me see there are millions more. Give me a vision, Lord divine, without a limit or boundary line. Help me just see a world in sin, not just the field that I'm working in. Give me a vision, heart-stirring vision. Open my eyes, Lord, today. Show me the sign, the doomed and the dying. Give me a vision, I pray." His last command, our first concern. I trust, dear friends, that we'll go forward with God. Maybe you're in this meeting, friend, and you have never found the Lord as your Savior. Maybe there's rebellion in your heart and you're rebelling against the truths of God's Word. Tonight, friend, there's a wonderful Savior in Jesus. Just give your life to the Lord tonight. Don't waste another moment. But start investing for eternity and living for God. May God help all of us in these days to get our priorities right. Make His last command our first concern.